across South Africa, online and on radio. SAFM, let's talk.
21 after 7, a comment made yesterday by the Home Affairs Minister, Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, that his department is now reviewing the Immigration Act, the Refugee Act, and the Citizenship Act. You'll have seen the claims that foreign nationals are working in jobs that South Africans should be having. Last week, you would have heard the chief director in the Labour Department, who's tasked with investigating and dealing with all of these issues. It is, of course, a very, very complex issue dealing with migration in the Southern African region. Gary Eisenberg is an immigration lawyer at Eisenberg and Associates. Gary, good morning, and thank you for your time.
Good morning, Stephen.
These three acts, the Immigration Act, the Refugee Act, the Citizenship Act, do they need to be reviewed? Do we need a change?
I've never seen any sound intellectual basis for doing so. In fact, after the Public Protector's report was published last year about the Gupta Citizenship acquisition from the former Minister of Home Affairs, Motsoaledi came on public television and said the fact that these acts are separate, causing havoc in our courts, and also many constitutional democracies around the world have combined these acts into a single piece of legislation. I actually wrote about this and pointed out what kind of noble lie this is. No real constitutional democracy in the world has combined these acts for obvious purposes, and no havoc at all has been caused by the fact that these acts remain separate pieces of legislation. In fact, what has caused havoc is the Department of Home Affairs' reluctance to comply with that, with those pieces of legislation. That's the havoc that has been caused, and certainly that now can't be used as a pretext for this kind of revolutionary change.
I mean, that's a strong claim that you make, a strong critique that you make. But, I mean, if you have three acts dealing with the same thing, aren't you running the risk that there's going to be contradictions within them, or that there'll be maybe even contradictory judgments because people will be looking at different acts? And I realize that in legalese, you're supposed to read this act in conjunction with this act. But does it not raise the risk that if you have three separate acts or dealing with how you have people coming into South Africa, that you're going to lead to more problems? It's going to be more complex than just having one?
I know of very little conflagration and litigation around conflicts between these three pieces of legislation. The Immigration Act, like the Refugees Act and the Citizenship Act, evolve through time. The minister makes regulations, Parliament amends from time to time, and in my view, working in the field for 25 years, I'm very happy that these acts are separate, seeking to legislate different facets of migration. Refugees, immigration, and citizenship are three separate subjects, causing different governmental and bureaucratic levers to be pulled. And most countries around the world see it in exactly the same way. So I don't see and I don't experience the kinds of conflicts the minister is talking about.
I suppose in a way this may well be driven by what we're seeing on the ground. Now, there are a lot of reasons for this. If you look at the top 10 countries in terms of unemployment and youth unemployment, you'll see, I think it's 8 out of the top 10, it's a very high figure, are all in Southern Africa. It's South Africa, Eswatini, Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, right? So what we have is migration in the Southern African area because people are looking for jobs. You see it in every city that you go to because people have no accommodation, they move into an informal settlement. Are we right to blame the law for what is happening? Would changing the law stop migration or not?
In my view, when you have such grandiose differences between these countries, for example, between Zimbabwe and South Africa, you will never stop migration. History has shown that during the Zimbabwe crisis in the early 2000s, millions of Zimbabweans crossed the border, even though we had, at that stage, visa requirements for entry. It still happened. No, we can't stop migration. What our government has done, and quite successfully, in my view, is promulgate legislation in response to all of this. Our legislation is very advanced. I think the major dilemma, if you look at it, taking our unemployment rate at over 44%. It's the highest in the world per capita. Well taken. It is how the Department of Home Affairs is going to lever these legislative provisions properly, without any corruption, with full knowledge, being well educated about our legislation and how it's supposed to be applied and implemented. We will have a very elegant governmental approach to migration patterns that are taking place.
So, for example, the Zimbabwean exemption permit is due to come to an end this year. Do you think that's actually going to change the situation on the ground? Do you expect that people are going to go back home to Zimbabwe because the permit ends?
Stephen, we can look at this very, very easily. Let's say there are perhaps 190,000 ZEP holders, or at least until the 31st of December last year. Let's assume that 10 or 20,000 of those individuals will be able to apply in 2022 for an ordinary immigration visa in terms of the Immigration Act. This leaves about 180, 170, 160,000 Zimbabweans with nowhere to go, without jobs, without proper visas or permits, all subject to arrest on the 1st of January 2023, all subject to deportation. This was the very problem which prompted Minister Dlamini Zuma in the day in 2009 to come up with a ZSP program in the first place, because our refugee system couldn't cope with the registration for asylum by all of these so-called economic migrants from Zimbabwe. We will be left with exactly the same problem. So I question the legitimacy and the wisdom of the minister's approach in this particular context.
Gary Eisenberg, thank you. Immigration lawyer at Eisenberg and Associates, 28 after 7.